This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to The Morning Run with me, Sharitz Abdullah, as well as Wong Xiaoning. And it is 7:07 in the morning, so we have lots of business news for you in the next hour. But first, US markets closed higher after 2 days in the red. The Dow and the S&P 500 both closed up 0.4%, while the Nasdaq was up 0.6%.
Yeah, so investors are hopeful that the Fed may cut interest rate, and this could boost the stock market. Now, looking at Asian market overall, every market in Asia has closed lower. Looking at only Shanghai, who closed unchanged. Another news, one of the biggest headlines this morning, there has been an attack on oil tankers in the Gulf.
At the moment, no one has claimed responsibility for the attacks. But of course, this hasn't stopped the US from unsurprisingly pointing its fingers at Iran. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made a statement saying that the US believed that the blasts on the two tankers were carried out by Iran based on intelligence and the level of expertise needed to execute the operation. Iran also unsurprisingly denied any involvement.
Now, these attacks are coming just a month after two Saudi tankers were attacked in the Strait of Hormuz, which is the world's most important oil artery. And as a result, oil rebounded from a five-month low on the back of this news, but was then tempered by concerns over weak global demand. I think at last price, it was at about 61.31. Alibaba has also filed confidentially for a Hong Kong listing. It would be Hong Kong's biggest share sale since 2010. It's looking to raise about $20 billion, although this still hasn't been finalized.
Yeah, so the group has about $30 billion of cash, but struggling to sustain growth at the same time amidst the economic slowdown as well as the trade war in Hong Kong. In the Hong Kong offering, the company will seek to sort of preserve its existing governance system, where partnership of top executive has rights, including the ability to nominate the majority of board members.
It just puts into question whether this means that other large Chinese companies will be listing in any other market other than US, considering the ongoing US-China trade talks and the fraught ties at this moment. Meanwhile, in the UK, the race to replace Theresa May as Prime Minister and leader of the Conservative Party continues. Of course, Boris Johnson has topped the first round of ballots in this leadership contest. A total of 7 of the initial 10 candidates will progress to the next round of voting next week, and the successor is slated to be announced on the 22nd of July.
So to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy, Oceania and Treasury Department at Mizuho Bank. Thank you for joining us, Vishnu. The FOMC meeting is scheduled to convene next week. Investors are betting that the US Federal Reserve will ease monetary policy. Do you expect Asian central banks to react and adjust their monetary policy in response?
I would argue that Asian central banks have already started to do that. So we've seen the Indian central bank cut rates thrice this year. We see Bank Indonesia gearing up for a cut. The Philippine central bank has already cut once. So I think this room to ease has already been perceived and priced in by quite a few of the Asian central banks. I think what's perhaps going to be a little bit more challenging is to try to get a good grip on what the trade uncertainties mean and how that may or may not translate into capital flow volatility, which then would impede on how much easing can be done.
And Vishnu, in Hong Kong, there's a debate that the rule of law as well as due process are being eroded. Would this affect Hong Kong's position as a major financial center in the region? And does its proximity to China, both politically as well as economically, mean that it will continue its dominance in Asian financial markets?
I think I would argue that this is certainly not going to be good for the headlines in the very near term and in the midterm. But as you rightly pointed out, the fact is that Hong Kong is not only important to countries outside of China looking at it as a as a conduit for investments into China, but it's also important for China because the relaxation of capital controls is being done and spearheaded via Hong Kong. So Hong Kong as a free financial market continues to be a very, very, very important source for all stakeholders. And for that reason, I don't think this is the so-called last straw on the camel's back. I think the camel is going strong.
And the dollar-yen is heading towards the 7 levels, while the PBOC has set its daily reference rate higher than what was expected on the street. Now, who are the biggest gainers and losers within this region should the yen continue to depreciate?
Well, if the yuan continues to depreciate, I think we can, with a very, very broad brush, say that all Asian currencies will decline. And there are no so-called winners in the first round. I think the currency buckling, and maybe if there's any attendant capital outflows out of the equity markets or the bond markets, would probably shake up Asia mostly. We've seen correlations with the yuan and other Asian currencies pick up considerably since 2016, 2017. But having said that, beyond that, if it does stabilize, then the equilibrium position could then start stabilizing things around the markets. And really, the winner-loser argument comes in with the trade war.
Vishnu, what about specifically in relation to the ringgit?
Well, I think specifically in relation to the ringgit, ringgit does have a high correlation with the renminbi. So when the renminbi falls, our suspicion is the ringgit is going to fall, particularly if this coincides with any weaknesses in the oil market. But ringgit could continue to be volatile because of oil's volatility and the expectations of renminbi weakness.
And that, thank you so much. And that was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy, Oceania, and the Treasury Department at Mizuho Bank. And he was weighing in on the ringgit and the yuan, as well as earlier Hong Kong markets, as well as whether other Asian central banks will readjust their monetary policy. And Vishnu argued that he believes that this has already started. So now we are coming back with more local news for you in just a little while. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.